Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of the Simple Pin Podcast. This episode I've titled, No More Pity Parties, It's Time to Embrace the Changes. In this discussion with Liz of Clean Eating Couple, we're talking about all the changes that have happened for creators. There is so much happening when it comes to Google, when it comes to AI, when it comes to TikTok taking over a big portion of search traffic. So we go through a kind of her bringing me up to speed on where she's at now, what her growth journey has been like, and how she's really stopped lamenting kind of the changes and really embraced them and seeks to serve her audience, and how she sees the next 5 to 10 years in business, what it's going to look like. Something I share in this episode that I've been just realizing more and more lately is that the digital marketing industry, the creator industry, every day is a new day. No one has done this before. And so we're learning about how we can really be smart and strategic, but also not, I guess, fervent or lose our minds, I guess, in this whole process. So I feel like this conversation is very leveling, very centering, and gets us back to a place where we say, okay, the most constant thing in the creator business is going to be change. How do we buckle up, prepare for the journey, and really create a sustainable business? Before we dive in, I want to remind you that Simple Pin Media is first and foremost a Pinterest marketing agency with one goal: make Pinterest marketing easier. Whether it's our done-for-you services, our done-with-you ads membership, or our inner circle, or our DIY products that are in the Simple Pin shop, our commitment to you is to help you get on Pinterest the right way so that it can deliver up the results you need. Even if you've had a Pinterest account years and years and years ago, and because of the Google update, you're coming back, we want to help you figure out which service or product is right for you. Book a discovery call with our team, and we can guide you in the best direction. We believe that nobody should be left confused when it comes to Pinterest, so let us help bring you clarity. Scroll down below in your podcast app and book a call with us today. Alrighty, with that, let's dive into my interview with Liz of Clean Eating Couple.
You're listening to the Simple Pin Podcast, Pinterest for business advice that goes down smooth and easy. Here's your host, Kate All.
All right, Liz, I am so excited to chat with you. And I was spending some time going through your website, and it says that you started your blog in 2013, which holds a big place in my heart because that's when I was blogging too. And I feel like anybody who was blogging in 2013, you just get the, it's almost like the way back when, like the dinosaur of blogging. But you talked about it as a way to move towards health. So I rarely ask this of people, but I think about it a lot, especially in my shoes, like buying the domain and wondering about starting a business. So I'd love for you to talk to me about like when you decided to buy the domain and you kind of thought, okay, am I going to do this? So tell me what that was like for you.
Yeah. So I, like many other people, started my blog really just as a thing to do for fun, as a hobby. I had personally just started to eat a little bit better and be more conscious about the things that I was consuming and started working out and all that. And I thought, well, why don't I just start sharing what I'm eating and what I'm cooking and all of that on a blog? It seems like other people are doing this. So I did. And at the time I was in school for marketing, working in marketing, and I quickly realized that, oh, people are making a lot of money on these blogs and people are doing this full time. So I pretty quickly went from, this is a fun hobby to what if I made this a little side hustle? And that quickly blossomed into, well, what if I could make this my full-time job? And then here we are 10 years later, and that's what I'm doing. Obviously, a lot went into it over those few years, but at the time, it was purely just started for fun, and then I quickly realized it could be more than fun.
Okay. And did you start with the Clean Eating Couple? Was that like the first name that you came up with, bought the domain, all of that?
So originally, my site was called Clean Eating Focused Training, which I don't even know what that means. But I quickly changed it to clean eating couple before I really had any sort of established audience. So fairly early on, I want to say within the first year, I changed it and bought the domain.
Got it. Okay. So we were chatting about this before the recording. We hit record, and it's that kind of comparison of 2013 to now. And there's this major Google shift happening. I told you I was just at Tastemaker last week, and top of conversation for everybody was this whole idea of the helpful content update and then the updates that are happening now when we're talking in March. Now that you have, you know, 11 years under your belt, how do you view these things that are happening right now with Google? And what would you kind of, what's your perspective on all of it?
So if you had asked me this question probably 3 years ago, I would have said, Google is so important. We have to be doing everything for Google, SEO, SEO. If I get a little bit of traffic from Facebook and Pinterest, that's cool, but not my big concern. But now I'm kind of realizing that while that wasn't a bad approach, Google has brought me millions of people to my site, which is amazing. It's not the end all be all. And even though I see it as an extremely valuable tool, and that I, who doesn't want to rank number one on all the things that you want to rank for, I see all these other channels, Pinterest being one of them, as equally as valuable tools. So while I previously put a lot of weight in Google, I'm starting to shift that weight into other platforms for a variety of reasons, but mainly because I feel that those platforms are valuable. And it's not even a feeling. I have data to back up that they're valuable and that they deserve my time and my energy and a strategy. So especially as Google continues to change, it's only continuing to reaffirm that thought process.
Yeah. Well, and looking at 2013, right, there was Facebook. And in 2013, Facebook changed the way they shared traffic with sites. You know, they moved towards an ad model. So you saw the whole flood of traffic kind of being turned off, and you saw people move towards Pinterest. It didn't feel like people had moved towards Instagram at that point. It was really just those two, and maybe if people used Twitter. But I guess what made you think to use Pinterest as a marketing tool, which very much closely aligns with Google, right? Like it's very close in that search capacity. But yeah, tell me about the first time you were like, hey, I think I'm going to use Pinterest marketing.
Yeah. So right around the time when I made that shift of thinking, oh, wait, there are people making money with this. I wonder if I can make money with this. I actually became a VA for other food bloggers. So I worked with primarily food bloggers, some DIY blogger as well. And I help them with kind of ad hoc tasks. But one of the things that a lot of them were asking me for was about Pinterest. So I really kind of just learned on the fly. A couple of people said, oh, this is how you make a pin, and this is how you upload it into Tailwind, and here's how you schedule it on the Pinterest scheduler. Not that I stole their strategies, but I just thought, okay, well, I guess I should be doing this on my tiny little blog too. So pretty early on, I started using Pinterest, I started using Tailwind, and I started getting more intentional about scheduling pins and creating them in Canva and using, at the time, I probably wasn't even using Canva. I don't even remember what I used to make my pins in.
I know, but it was like some difficult thing like Adobe that probably took forever.
Probably. I don't know how to use Adobe. So it was probably something even more janky than that.
Totally.
But making those keyword rich pins and learning about how to write a good description, I took a Pinterest course. And then just every year, I kind of gradually built on that knowledge about Pinterest.
And then did you find that for you? And like I said, like Google and Pinterest tend to straddle, they vie for number one in analytics. Did you start to see kind of the wave from both start to happen and paying attention to, okay, this is actually working, like people are coming from Pinterest?
Yes, definitely. I feel like with both of those platforms, it was a pretty, not automatic, because obviously things take time, but it was clear that what I was doing on Google and on Pinterest was having an impact, and I was getting traffic from both the platforms.
Got it. Okay. So with all these changes too, so you're using Pinterest, and I didn't include these in our questions, but I'm thinking about it just now, which is, when a lot of people talk about this kind of wrestling with Instagram, like, because Instagram is so different than Google and Pinterest. It's not a heavy traffic driver, but we find that a lot of people really get drawn to using it. They spend hours on it. They get sucked into it. Like, there's all these things that they chase. Did you have that time in your business too, where you added in, or even TikTok, I guess, added in this thing that felt good at the time? And then it's been labor intensive, or I guess maybe that's an assumption on my part, but tell me how adding in Instagram or TikTok has been for you, being so different than Pinterest and Google.
Yeah. So I did go in on Instagram. I grew a following there. We have around 90,000 followers at this point when we're chatting. I never delved into TikTok. I have a TikTok. I will post whatever I'm posting on Instagram on TikTok, but it doesn't have very many followers. I personally don't use TikTok.
I don't either.
I don't understand it. And that's probably why my account has never done well there. But I also don't at this, I feel like someone's going to come knock at my door. I'm like, I just don't care. I have limited time that I want to spend on social media. And I personally don't see the value of it at this point in my business. And I feel like got in at the right time. So at this point, I'm just like, it is what it is, whatever happens to it will be. But with Instagram, I have spent time on it. And like what you said is my experience. It's very labor intensive. I feel like it consumes a lot of time for the ROI, but where I struggle with Instagram, and I don't struggle as much with Pinterest or Facebook or Google, is that I struggle to tie an ROI to Instagram. So whenever I'm doing something, I want it to be data driven. And I know that there is value in Instagram. For me, the value is not in driving traffic to my site, because it is probably less than 1%. That's what it was the last time I checked, of my traffic, which is quite frankly nothing. However, Instagram is a really good tool for my affiliate partners for selling things on Amazon or Like to Know It or anywhere, really. It's a good brand building for me. I feel like this is where I meet people. It's where I talk to people. They get to know me as a person. There's more of a personal connection with it. And I also use it as a way to drive people to my newsletter. So I'm always talking about my opt-ins. I'm talking about how important it is to be on my newsletter so you can get our new recipes. So it's certainly contributing to my newsletter growth as well. The problem is I am not able to say, I have made XYZ dollars off of Instagram. My ROI on it is this. So I don't have a metric to tie it to. And I feel like even if I were able to quantify it, it would be very, very small compared to the value that other platforms bring to my business. But I do find myself getting sucked into it.
I know. It's true. And I think that it's important to call out, right? Because I think as we're talking about it, we're acknowledging it. I get sucked into it too. And I jump through hoops for it. And I'm the same as you. Like I want it to drive traffic to my newsletter. It's not a traffic driver. It is just a connector, a warming up. And a lot of people will ask me, should I use Pinterest or Instagram? And you should use both, because Pinterest users are cold. They don't know anything about you. They're finding your recipes when they're searching for something and they're coming to your site. And it takes them a while to say yes. Whereas on Instagram, they're getting to know you. And like you said, you can push other affiliates and things like that. And it always amazes me how many hoops we will jump through when it comes to Instagram and how much time it does take for us. Because I don't know about you, but I can open it up and get lost real easy. And then I'm an hour in and I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, I always have found it interesting. And we were kind of talking about this beforehand, but I rarely see people completely write it off, but they write off other platforms, Pinterest being one of them, like, oh, this is dead. It's not bringing me traffic. But if you looked at your analytics, I think that a lot of people would be shocked at how much traffic they're getting from Instagram. Of course, there are anomalies. There are accounts that absolutely kill it on Instagram that brings them tons of traffic, and that's amazing. But I would argue that they are in the minority, and that most specific to food bloggers, most of their traffic is not coming from Instagram. But I don't know. I could be totally wrong.
No, I agree with you. And having looked at the analytics of hundreds and hundreds of accounts over the last 10 years, you're spot on. It is very, very rare that we have Instagram even being in the top five of traffic drivers. And I think, you know, what you said was so interesting about just how it is hard to keep it all in perspective. But when you go to the data and you look at the numbers, you realize, oh, Google and Pinterest are number one and number two. And when we were at the conference, what I found really interesting from food creators was that so many people had jumped ship on Pinterest in 2020, 2021. They're like, Pinterest is dead. Like they were writing it off for the sake of Instagram or for the sake of Pinterest. And now today, fast forward, we're having conversations where they say, I am still getting traffic from Pinterest and I think I want to come back to it because it feels like, well, Google, Pinterest always feels like a teeter-totter. When Google is up, Pinterest is down. When Pinterest is up, Google is down. So we're kind of in that helpful content update, all these other things. People are down on Google, so now they're looking back to Pinterest. But what it sounds like in your story, you've kept those pretty even. You've said, I'm going to keep them running in the background, Pinterest and Google working at the same time. And then I'm going to add in this layer of Instagram that does serve a different purpose. Was that accurate?
Yeah, that's totally accurate.
Okay, so I took a sip of water there too, because I, for some reason, I have massive allergies opening up today. So super fun. So here's... We've been talking about how much business has changed in the last 10 years. And I was just telling somebody in a previous podcast that I was on that the way we're going forward feels like, well, digital marketing has always felt like the wild, wild west, right? Because no one's ever really done it before. Now we have AI. Now we have people worried that content is going to, you know, handwritten content is going to be replaced by AI. And we just don't know. So if you look at your business and you think about the next 5 or even 10 years going forward, what helps keep you grounded when it feels like it's like we're having this massive like earthquake within the creator community? How do you see yourself navigating the next 5 or 10 years despite all of that happening?
Yeah, we were chatting about this before we hit record, but it feels like, to your point, right now there is this massive shift that is happening. But the thing that really keeps me grounded is focusing on our people and creating with them in mind. And that is something that I believe is going to get me further on Google, on Pinterest, on Facebook, on Instagram, on my newsletter, whatever platform that's to come that maybe I'll join or maybe I'll ignore it like TikTok. Creating with my people in mind is, I think, the thing that's going to help carry me through the next 10 years. It's very easy, I think, as creators to get lost in this is important right now. This is where we need to be focusing. We have to do it this way. You have to make video. You have to make this. You have to write this way and go after these keywords and make your images look like this. But at the end of the day, I know that you've talked about this on other podcasts, those are tactics. And in my opinion, going after creating content with your people in mind is a strategy. And it's a strategy that I think no matter what happens, AI, new platforms, algorithms, it's the one that's going to win. So right now, above anything, that's where I'm putting my energy into.
Is there something, I have this in my business sometimes when I get off track, is there somebody that you think of or an avatar that you have or maybe even exchange you've had with somebody in your audience that kind of pulls you back when you feel like you're getting sucked into the algorithm, the AI, the playing for Google? How do you kind of ground yourself?
Yeah, I do have a person that I create with in mind. It's actually one of my friends. And I think about her sometimes when I get an idea that I'm like, oh, what if I were to make blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, no, she would never make that for dinner. Because in my head, my friend and my readers, they're all very similar in that they need easy recipes. They need healthy recipes. They don't want to be wasting their time in the kitchen. They don't want to be spending money on really expensive, confusing ingredients that they don't know what to do with. They want it to taste good. They want it to be quick. And they want it to be generally healthy so that they could feel good about eating it and feeding it to their family. And if something doesn't check off those boxes, even if it's going to do great on Google or it's going to, you know, go viral on Pinterest, it's not for me. And it's unfortunate sometimes to make that call, because obviously, like, I love to cook, I love to eat. There are so many things that I'd love to put on my site, but if it doesn't fall within that realm, then I have to pass it and know that it's not really for my people. And it might be fun for me. And if I really want to go down that creative endeavor, I could do it. No one's stopping me, but it's probably not going to bring much value to anyone. And that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. I heard a food creator tell me that probably, I want to say it was 4 to 5 years ago. She said, there's this chocolate cake that I make for my family. It's amazing. It's out of this world. It's incredible. She's like, I will never put it on my site because it just doesn't fit the people who are reading my, why they're reading my site. But it's important to me. And for her too, it felt like she was kind of keeping that part sacred as well, that this was something that was fun for her. It wasn't something that needed to be keyworded or have a beautiful image. She could just make this cake and be completely delighted by it. And so I get a sense of that's what you're saying too, is that there's sometimes the things that are just for you and they don't have to be turned into a post, right? Or they don't have to be converted into a piece of your business.
Yeah, no, you are totally right. And you just articulated exactly how I'm feeling about the second website that I started, because that's a perfect example of it. Like I said, I love to cook and I love dessert, but obviously dessert doesn't really have a place on a healthy website. And I have healthy desserts on my site, but I like a real chocolate chip cookie with butter and sugar and flour. And I'm sorry, but there's no healthy chocolate chip cookie recipe out there that can compare to it. So I've always loved to bake. It's something that I have a lot of family ties to and just wonderful memories with. And for years, I've wanted to share my family's recipes. So I started an entire second site for it. And while it has brought me so much joy to see my family's recipes being made by people around the world, I've realized, like, oh, I didn't need to do that. I didn't need to share it with everyone. Like, I could have just kept it as this fun thing to do for myself. But that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah. But I think actually what I love about it is that we are always, when we are business owners, we've started something, and especially over the last 10 years, we've navigated so many ups and downs, so many new platforms that our brains kind of become primed to think about, like, oh, I could turn this. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know I've bought a bunch of domains thinking, oh, I'm going to start this business, you know?
Absolutely.
So we're constantly thinking in a business model type of way.
For sure.
And I think that's probably where your brain went with that. It was like, okay, well, let's just do this. And then now you're like midway and you're like, okay, maybe there needs to be some more guardrails around this that are just for me.
Yes.
Yeah, I get that too. And I started a second business as well, just for agency coaching and all those kinds of things. And I realized as I was getting into it, I was falling into the rules of like, okay, when you start a business, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And I said, what if I just learn what my voice is over there and I don't try to like gamify it or figure it out. I just enjoy it. And I feel like once I kind of released that, it felt so fun for me. It felt like it was this extension and I was able to kind of navigate through it. And so I wonder for you, that'll kind of come at that point where you're like, okay, this is just for me. If somebody makes this recipe, great. If they don't, great. It'll just go where it's going to go.
I think that it will come back to me. I'm just in a weird season of life right now where I'm just like, oh, this feels like just more work to do. And I don't have the time that I want to devote to it. So I hope that a year or two down the line, maybe I will feel differently about it. But right now I'm just like, this is a fun thing that I did that I probably shouldn't have done, but no one got hurt in doing it. So if it just sits there and it's kind of like this abandoned thing for a year or two, like, so be it.
Yeah, exactly. So be it. Okay. So I'm so curious, what would you tell 2013 Liz about running a food creator, food blogger business? And maybe something that is an encouragement, but also something to watch out for. What would you tell her?
I would say, I feel like this is the perfect segue off of what we just talked about, but watch out for shiny object syndrome, because there's a lot of it, and there's a lot of enticing things in the world of content creation and blogging that seem really fun and seem like, oh my gosh, I have to do this and I have to do this right now. I feel like there's a ton of urgency around the industry. But you don't have to do everything, and you don't have to jump on every trend, and you don't have to do all of the things a certain way. So I would say watch out for shiny object syndrome. But I would more importantly say to like just keep going every single day, because blogging and content creation is, in my opinion, a marathon. It is in no way a sprint. And sure, there are periods in your business where you have to sprint. But for the most part, the thing that has gotten me to where I am, I feel like, is just consistently working at my site, trying to make it a great resource every day. And whether that was working on keyword research or creating new pins or sharing posts in Facebook groups or making a reel on Instagram, all those little things every single day keep adding up and will have a meaningful impact for years to come. Even if in the moment you feel like this is silly, those little things really do make a difference.
That's so encouraging, especially since I just met with a mother-daughter team at Tastemaker who had just started their new food site in September. And I'm thinking of them as you're saying this, that it's, you don't hear a lot of people, well, I don't hear a lot of stories of people who just start. It's more people who are, you know, 2013 or 2017 or even 2020. So to hear like, oh, you've started in 2023. And the landscape is so different, but the advice you just gave is so important for them to hear, that it's just keep going every day. Don't get caught up in shiny object and just really keep leaning in and learning as you go, which is such valuable advice.
Yes. And especially the learning part. I didn't mention this earlier when we were talking about how I got started and how I got interested into Pinterest, but I have listened to every single episode of the Simple Pin Podcast. And Kate, you're not telling me to say this. I have listened to it since you started and listened to old episodes. And aside from your podcast, I listened to other podcasts outside of the food blogging and content creation. I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly reading. I try not to overload myself with information, but I am always curious and I'm always willing to read or listen to something. And that is something that I would also tell anyone. There is an abundance of free resources out there. If you currently don't have the budget to buy a course or, you know, buy coaching from someone, obviously there are some not so great free resources out there, but there are good people out there putting out really great information for free, and you can learn in so many different ways. So that would be another thing. Just soak in any information that you can and never feel like you are above learning or listening to things. One of my favorite things to listen to and favorite people to talk to are newer bloggers or bloggers that are kind of up and coming, because they have a totally different perspective and outlook and way of learning than we probably did in 2013. And I think it's so valuable that no matter where you are in your business, that you are always a student. And that you always come from the point of view that you always have something to learn, that you're not an expert on everything.
Yes, 100%. I agree with you on that. And I think especially as I just see our industry as like every day is a new day and every day is paving the way. And if we put ourselves in the position of student, we really are learning, and that adds such value to our business that our audience gets to feel. They're like, oh, this is new, or this is, you know, I feel a different feeling from them. There's just in general, just this air of, yeah, the student and then putting it into practice. So I love that you said that. And thank you for listening to all the podcasts, by the way. There's a lot of podcasts that I've recorded over the years, but I was telling somebody even earlier, I said, I want to be the person who challenges my norms. Because I know they're in your industry, just like they're in my industry. There's a lot of things that we've just always done because we've done them. And when you get into that habit of just doing something because everybody's always done them, you lose creativity, you lose ingenuity. And to be able to stand back from that and listen to other people and be a student is when I think you get most creative. And I'm excited for you in that adventure and where you're going to go. And just how this industry is going to change over the next couple of years. But I think you're going to weather it just fine because you have that perspective and you have that vision of your business. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm excited too. I think that there's a lot of negativity right now about, you know, impending changes, but I think that dwelling on it and being negative certainly isn't going to get us anywhere. So you can have your pity party for a few minutes, but then you got to dust yourself back off and get back to it, because this is also, I think, the time where we have the greatest opportunity. And it could only get better from here.
Yeah. I was trying to think of a title for this episode, but I think that you just nailed it. It's like, we're done with the pity party. Let's get creative. That's where we're going. I think it's right on. Well, where can people go to connect with you, see your beautiful website and your beautiful photos too?
Yeah. So you can find us at thecleaneatingcouple.com. You could feel free to follow us on Instagram at thecleaneatingcouple. You could send me a DM there. And then you can send me an email as well if you want to chat or want to discuss this more. I'm always happy to chat with you. My email is liz@thecleaneatingcouple.com.
Yeah. If you are new and there's something that Liz has said, or even if you're seasoned and you're tired, right? Like, I think there is value in connecting with people who have been in the industry as long as you have, just to know that you're both there. We're both still here.
And yeah, we're still standing.
Yeah, still standing. So reach out to Liz as well. Thank you so much for sharing your story, your perspective, and where you're at, Liz. It's so valuable. And I know a lot of our listeners are going to have some good takeaways from this episode.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so nice to chat with you, Kate.